The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Respected scholars and elders and brothers and sisters, عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين عليه السلام. There's no limit when it comes to my passion for being a Husseini. But when it comes to my practice, I have to realize that Allah Ta'ala has given me responsibilities. And I want to make sure that my commemoration for Imam Hussein alayhi salam does not prevent me from performing my other responsibilities. During these days and nights, I still want to make sure that I have time with my family, at least at the level of discussing and sharing and exchanging experiences. Sometimes we hear from complaints from the families. They say that for 40 days, or maybe 60 days, or 68 days, or whatnot, you know, we basically say khudafis to one another. Because every day the ladies will be going one place and the men will be going to another place. Now, alhamdulillah, mashallah, like I love that spirit. But let's try to look at it from a balanced perspective. What will be the long-term implications on my family? In these key times of development, we want to make sure that our bonds are very strong and that communication is also taking place. At the very least, we're afterwards, sometime in the day, we're exchanging notes, we're talking about like, okay, so those words, for example, that were said in the beautiful Marthia or the Noha that recited, did they mean something to you? Or, for example, you know, that point about that story about the beggar and the rich man, what did you take from it? And what so on and so forth. That's number one, is avoiding extremes. And of course, the other extreme would be to say that these days are just like any other day. And, you know, if we make it and we get a chance, then we'll turn it on the live stream and we'll see what we can do in terms of tuning in. But otherwise, my life will be just like normal. As we saw, the Ahlul Bayt al-Islam's lives would change during this time. Number two, second thing we want to avoid, inshallah, is that we would like to avoid any acts that would lead to flaming the fuel of discord and disunity. This is something that Amaraja have guided us towards. And whether we are in the spiritual homelands, or whether we are in the lands of Ghurba, where we are, for example, here, the same principle applies. We need to do things tactfully, things that will allow us to be a source of adornment for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, not people who will take people away from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and be a source of shame for them. This is number two. And number three, we want to make sure that we do things that will strengthen the position of the religion. One of the things I always encourage my respected brothers and sisters, those who organize the programs, may Allah reward them for their efforts. I say that, brothers and sisters, let's put on those programs just like this, very well organized, beautifully decorated programs that will be something that it would be a source of pride for us to bring somebody here who doesn't know anything about it. They would be honored to be here. They would find it attractive. Not in some places, we find that instead, for example, let's say there's somebody who's interested in Islam, we make sure that we don't bring them in these first 10 days. Because it's just something which we can't explain to them, and it's something which we'd rather them not be there for whatever reasons. Right? We have to be thinking about this. We have a responsibility when it comes to this message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It is not something which is solely my possession or your possession or the community's possession. Imam Hussein's message was a universal message. We want to make sure, inshallah, we don't do anything to hamper the spread of this universal message. So if we go to the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we will see, inshallah, in the course of these evenings, we will see various from various aspects. We'll look at it from the perspective of ethics, from family, from lifestyle, from the practice of religion. We'll look at it from their treatment of one another, from community, different angles. We're inshallah going to be able to see how it is that even though they had progressed in time, they had gone back when it came to what Islam was supposed to be. But we're not going to stop there, because that wouldn't be doing justice. Because what we want to do is we want to look at the past to understand the present and go to the future. So the last point I'll make tonight, brothers and sisters, is that the same way that there was a jahiliyyah, a period of ignorance that was seeping back into the community after the death of our beloved Prophet, the same way that in our times, we're also dealing with a new era of ignorance. And for this, it's very important that we understand where we are and what shapes the type of thinking in the place that we are. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to just take you on a very brief journey in the history of how religion has been dealt with in the West. Because we live here after all. And no matter how much we try, we are affected by the perspective that others have on religion. Religion at one time was considered a way of life. It was considered to be the be-all and of everything. Education was based on religion. Government was based on religion. Power was distributed according to religion. But you know that there was a time period where slowly the society moved away from religion. That is called the Renaissance. And this era was a time of different thinkers looking at the teachings of Christianity at that time, seeing the flaws in it and saying that we need something else. And slowly they began to move away from religion. Religion was there, but religion was put in, boxed into its own place in life. And so we see different thinkers, they don't want to openly say something against religion because people still felt attached to it. But what they started to say is that until now, you were told that you have a purpose in life and your purpose is to worship God. But now you should know that your purpose is no longer to worship God. Your purpose is to be all that you can be. You define your own purpose. God has given you unlimited potential. Go and find what you can be to the maximum. This idea of worship and servitude, it was slowly taken away. And then we fast forward to the next era, the Age of Enlightenment, and we see that now the trend moves even further. Now we have thinkers who say that God is there. God created, but God created in a way where it was such an amazing creation that He created and then He left it to be. So practically speaking, whether God is there or not, it doesn't matter. It's up to you. You go ahead and find your own way. And it progressed from there. We had a time period when now they said that, you know what? There's nothing like any established truth that you're learning from your society or from your parents. You make your own meaning. You construct your own meaning. You do whatever, however you feel, whatever you think is right, you go for it. And it leads up to what's called the postmodern era. And I'm going very fast through these things, but I'm just giving you like the highlights. The postmodern era, which is the one which we live in right now, where they say that, you know what, there is no such thing as meaning anymore. Religion is something which, if you believe that it's true, that's completely up to you. But the one thing we can say is that there is no truth. There's nothing which is absolute. Everyone unto his own. So what is this, the net result of that over time? Is that religion, which started out as being something which was affecting all part of our lives, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And now, when we think of religion, usually it's something which is on the level of like, well, you can be a religious person or you can be somebody who's into yoga, right? Or you can be somebody who's into Buddhist meditation. Or you can be somebody who, let's say, you know, you don't do that, right? But you do sports instead. Meaning that it's completely a personal lifestyle, a personal choice. Now, when we come to the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is as if he's crying out to us. Right? What is he telling us? He's telling us that, my dear followers, those of you who love me, please understand my message. My message was given back then when I told people that don't let religion be something which is just like how you take something and you taste it on your tongue and then you take it away. Religion is supposed to be something that you embrace, that you take, you understand, you apply when it comes to your life in all aspects, in our family, in our education, in our recreation, in our community, in the way that we look at this world. And inshallah, we hope that with the help of Allah, we'll be able to see and examine some of these teachings, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Oh, Hussein, you live forever. To Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.